We are back here. I am Marshall Kennebrew. This is Bowler's Grind. We have been away from a little bit. We've kind of just been exploring things that we want to do in our own world. We are back here. We have a lot of things to talk about. How's it going, Kyle?
Good. How are you, Marshall?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I am getting ready to head to the gym in about 30 minutes, but we wanted to recap and kind of bring people along from where we've been, maybe catch people up, things that you've been doing and things that I've been doing. I've been more in the gym and on the road running, but you have been bowling and bowling really well. So you want to talk about your last event that you had at the regional at the Morongo Casino?
So first I want to lead up. So during at the beginning of the week, I had a lesson with Mike Jasnow, and we're going to have a podcast with him, so stay tuned. So I had a lesson with him. So he changed up a few things going into the tournament. So going into this PBA regional, I had very low expectations because I was changing things. I didn't know how they would work, if I could do anything. And even Jasnow told me, don't use some of this stuff for the tournament. Use what you used to do. I kind of took some of that, but from some of the what I got on the lanes, I liked some of the stuff, and I felt like it was more consistent than what I was doing, even with just the changes from there. So I took some of that and implemented it immediately. And so,
real quick, how much percentage? So, like, you had about like a 90-minute lesson, is that correct?
It was about an hour lesson, so.
Our lesson. Okay. And there were a lot of things that I'm sure that you learned, but you don't want to just rush into a big tournament implementing all that. What percentage of things would you say that you implemented from the things you learned?
About 50%.
Okay.
So I kept 50%, but I didn't implement everything. And I still kept an open mind and just kind of wanted to bowl good. And so going into the tournament, I had the practice session, and in the practice session, I was playing around with stuff and I could not find a look, and I didn't know if the balls that I had or the surfaces were wrong or something like that. So when we got back to the hotel, we brought a spinner. So I changed some surfaces around, and then I got those ready to go for the next day. So I brought all that, changed the surfaces on some of my balls that I thought might be in play, like my UFO. I decided that urethane was probably not going to be there, and I kind of turned out right on that. I think some people still used it, but most people didn't have any luck with it.
Kyle, so like just real quick, what was something that allowed you to have like the feeling that that urethane wasn't going to work?
Just that it's a longer pattern. Usually a lot of the guys like to say that anything 39 and shorter, always use urethane. Anything longer than that, it's kind of wishy-washy. It depends on if the gutter's hooking or not. And for me, the gutter was hooking, but only at a spot. So if you missed anywhere left, it was going dead straight. So it would miss the head pin right by almost, like, it would go straight to the six pin if you missed a little left and it didn't hit, see that friction off the gutter, which was like the one and two board.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to risk that. So going in the next day, since I was kind of lost and I didn't have an idea, I was like, okay, well, I bowl B squad, so I have to be up anyways because everyone in my group is bowling A squad. So every single person but me was in A squad. So I was like, okay, I'll go watch and then I'll try to get an idea of what to do. So I started off by thinking, okay, let's go see what the top guys are doing. So I went over and watched Darren in his first game, and I saw him on the gutter with a gem. So the gem's a strong ASIM ball, and I was like, okay, well, I put surface on the strong ASIM last night, so maybe I'll use that. And then I walked around some more, saw a lot of the success was with big balls on the gutter. Another good bowler is PJ Haggerty. He was playing the gutter with the Gem as well. And then a little bit
and
after.
Real quick, I wanted just to ask you, like, being a spectator, I know you're usually a competitor. How often do you get a chance to do this? Just kind of walk through and watch people at a higher level. How often do you get to do something like this?
It all depends. Usually it depends on the event. Like at the Masters, you try to go to the other squads if you can and see what people are doing, just kind of get an idea. Well, obviously, you can overanalyze and stay there the whole time and watch every single person, which right. ends up confusing you because some people just are anomalies. Like, but right. you just kind of have to pick and choose and try to pull the information that is consistently obvious and try to see what the outliers are so that you can know, hey, that's probably not going to work, but it's there. And when you see something consistent, you can be like, that'll probably work. So
as a spectator, you would say you look for things that are consistent across the board first, where it's like, okay, a lot of people are doing this. And then from there, maybe you'll look for some intricacies like, oh, two-handers are doing this, or someone that has a similar game to mine is doing that.
Yeah. And for this event, I was actually, I think there might have been only one other two-hander that bowled well, but for this event, a lot of the two-handers did not bowl well. So that is something to take notice of, but which is usually weird because we were bowling on Scorpion, which is 42 feet, and it's a longer pattern. Usually two-handers have the advantage on a longer pattern. But for this one, I don't know if it's because people saw something that was kind of there but wasn't there and they were playing it. But basically, I was scoping out. I kind of, after the first game or two, kind of just checked out, which might have hurt me, but also I don't really know because this plays into where the Jazz Now stuff came in, but I'll get into that as I start bowling. Cool. So now from here, I'm going to get into the bowling. So what I did was at the beginning of the block, I just was like, okay, I'm going to try to make sure I have some hook on the gutter. And so I just stayed right of where I was going to throw it and played basically straight up the boards, like up two basically, with some surface and just stayed there.
And this was in the practice session or in like your warm-up of your first?
In the practice session.
Okay.
Like the practice session for the block. Like getting into the bowling.
Gotcha. And real quick, just curious, how many balls did you bring to an event like something like this?
15 I brought, but that was because I had no idea what would be in play. It's usually best to bring a lot of stuff and not regret it than right. bring a little stuff and then be like, I wish I had this ball.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What's your like go-to benchmark, would you say, that you go to usually?
For me, it's been a little tricky recently because it used to be like the Axiom and stuff, and I've been trying to fill that spot, but I got the Idle Helios, and it's just too strong. And the other ball that kind of fills that spot is the High Road Max for me, but that ball is kind of more specialty. It's kind of a little too quick at times, and it's too slow at times, and the High Road is just too slow all the time. Or not the High Road, the Idle Helios is too slow all the time for me. So like as soon as the surface goes, it's just dead forward right off the lane, and I just can't get the ball to shape anymore after that. But with the High Road, it saves a good amount of energy most of the time, unless if it burns it all up. And so it can get me in trouble if it's not an easier pattern. And this definitely didn't feel easy enough to throw that. But so from what I saw from Darren, I wanted to give it a try in practice. So I threw the regular UFO, and this is the ball that I put surface on the day before, and I played up the gutter, and it hooked a little bit too much, and I moved a little left, and it didn't hook enough, so I moved a little forward to slow myself down from where it didn't hook enough, and it shaped off perfectly. And then, so from there, I just kept throwing shots, and it looked really good. So after practice was over, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with this and just go from there. So the start of game one, very first shot, I 10-pin, but I send a messenger over. It hits the sidewall, bounces back around, and goes back into the pit. Then I don't move off of that because it's like, well, if I'm going to messenger like that, the next one's going to hit it. So I throw three in a row. All doing that up the gutter with the UFO. Then on my fifth shot, I get the same kind of messenger, except for it looks at how it rolled was way different. Like, it was just flying by. Oh, this one bounce behind it, and I was like, okay. So I just picked up the spare and moved on, and then I struck out for that the rest of that game for 269. Then on the next game, I just kept it going and just stayed on the gutter. On the third game, we moved sides, and the other side hooked more, so I was trying to move in and find it, and I kept going high. So the first start of the game got a little dicey. But I managed to pull out a 203 game out of it with two opens, and those were both splits. I left the 3610 and a 210, and that was when I was trying to fish for a look. And then I moved on to the next game, and I still had that look on the gutter. It wasn't on the gutter. It moved in a little bit by this time. And this game, I missed a few spares, so that could have been a lot better game just from the spares. But I still shot 229 that game. And then after that game, that's when things kind of fell off. And basically what happened was what I was alluding to earlier, the Jazz Now stuff. Basically, my ball motion is completely different on all of my balls. So when I got to game five, where that UFO look went away, I started trying different balls, but the ball's motion was either way more or way less than it used to be. So a ball that I thought would be good was either too slow, and then I was like, okay, I'll move to something that's a little quicker. And the quicker item or quicker ball was way too quick and shot left of the head pin. And I was like, okay. And then I kept moving to try to accommodate, and I went with the balls that were quicker because at least I could get some shape and have a chance, whereas the other one just would wash out every time. And so I just moved left with the quicker options and kind of tried to find something. And I really didn't find anything for the rest of the block until the end. But it was kind of just like, let's make it happen. And I just have to make shots at this point. I got to hold on and try not to blow it. And so I ended up finishing plus 71 for eight games. So my total pins was 1671. Now my start to the game was a lot better. I was plus 130 at the time, like after four, and it could have kept going, but I had spares that I missed, and I had got lost in my ball motion. And so I ended up finishing plus 71. And I was close to the number. I knew that. And I was a little concerned that I had lost it. But there was, we got wrapped up. I came and some of my friends were calculating scores and trying to figure out if I made it or not. And so there was a few people who could get ahead of me, and one of them looked like they were about to. And luckily, they did not. They, I guess they got lost, but they had a really good game going, and then it just fell apart, I guess. And so I was just wandering around, just hoping that I made it.
Well, I mean,
basically pacing.
it's one of those takeaways, man, that you can just take with you forever, which will always remind you that you fought through some very uncertain times. Like, there was many games you were not figuring it out. You're changing things up, but every shot led you to barely making the cut. So every shot does matter.
Yep.
That corny saying, every shot matters.
For sure. And so from there, after the other people wrapped up, it was confirmed that I made it. So after that, I went home, or went to the hotel. We got some sleep, and then I had to be up in the morning to bowl again. And funny enough, the finals, or the cashers round we go to next, and that day was also my birthday. And so the tournament director was, someone told the tournament director, was like,
"Oh gosh,
I heard it's your birthday."
Oh man, pressure, Ed. Magnifying glass on you.
And then some of the other bowlers were like, "Oh, well, we're going to ruin your birthday."
that's good. That's awesome.
So, and then, yeah, so we got ready to go. I bowled with Robert Smith in the cashers round because they ordered it by order, and I finished one spot ahead of him. And so in practice, my look was kind of there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it again. And I also threw service on the gutter in practice like I did the other day. I'm not sure whether it was what I did or what Robert did that caused my look to go away. But after the first two shots, my ball started hooking off the planet. And so I was like, crap. Because obviously my look for the rest of the tournament when that ball was gone was not there. So I did not have a good day at the cashers round. I just couldn't get a look. I tried fishing the whole time and never found anything. And also, this goes into something that happened with the Jazz Now stuff. As I reflected going into it, I was practicing and I realized my paps have changed because of the stuff that we were doing. So now my ball roll is not matching up to my layouts that are on the balls, which makes sense why everything seems so extreme and so off, and why there was like some balls that still kind of worked and some balls that were so bad and some balls that were so flippy, and it changed things completely. So I have to go back and change everything now.
Just from a lot of the things that Mike Jasnow had you working on, or just from like a combination of things that you've been incorporating in your game, and it's just been a while since you went back in?
I think it was mostly from the things Mike had me working on, because one of it was trying, like, he wanted me to get more inside the ball, which I thought I was doing, but how he showed me it makes more sense. And so it changed my ball roll when I did that. So now I have tilt, whereas right. I did not have tilt before. I had zero tilt, which zero tilt is basically my ball is rolling over the whole ball. When you have tilt, it's kind of more like a top.
Right.
And so with me having more tilt means that the balls have more energy going down lane, which is why those flippier balls became way more flippy. What, which is also with my pap changing, meant that a lot of those stronger balls that had the normal layouts were now short pin balls because my layout moved closer to, or my pap moved closer to the pins. So they became short pins, and I usually don't match up well with short pins, especially trying to hook the lane at all. So it completely changed up my game, and it makes sense looking back in it. But obviously, I took the lesson the week of, so I did not have expectations to bowl well, and somehow I did walk into a look based on watching Darren, then trying that, and then staying there. And luckily, that ball had a layout that still was functional. And I think it's because of the asymmetric core that it was still able to do something, whereas like some of the other strong balls were just not moving at all. And so I was able to actually get something going. And so reflecting on the week, I was extremely happy that I cashed. I was extremely happy I was able to put up those first big four games and not completely dump away all that I had from those second four games. And
you very well could have, right? Because a lot of bowlers, they're hot early and then they tank late, and vice versa. So you have to give yourself those little props of like, you know what, I kept it together and I fought through and I'm going to keep fighting and getting better. And this is a part of your progression, man, that you should feel very proud of your performance.
Yep, I'm extremely happy and I'm glad I was able to do it. And now I cannot bowl anymore this year of PBA events. I have cashed out. I cashed in the non-champs earlier in the year. And now I've cashed here in Morongo. So now I cannot bowl any more PBA events for the year. So now it's time to look on to TAT, ABT, ABT Nationals, regular Nationals. I think I'm going to bowl New Mexico Open. And yeah.
Well, and again, that was a great recap, man. Appreciate you kind of giving all that heartfelt thoughts and such. I'm glad that you have a plan going forward that is very like conducive to what's going to make you go to the highest level. You got excellent coaches involved. You're looking in every direction for PAP and tilt and re-examining all your balls. Like, you're doing everything that maybe sometimes a lot of people that get in that hamster wheel loop of like, you know, just doing the old league or chasing scores. You get caught into chasing scores sometimes, but you're breaking it all down as someone that can post high scores anytime. So props to you for looking into yourself and in your game. I'm doing the same thing on an even grander scale, but on a lower level. So it's really cool to hear the things that you're going through so that I'm constantly reminded of, you know, just keep working, keep chipping away one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you finished the tournament. I wanted to ask you, you said that there was more that you wanted to work on with the Jazz Now stuff. So now, have you taken the time since finishing that tournament to work on those things at the highest scale that you possibly can do with working a job, sleeping? Are you doing your best, and are you going to keep doing your best? Like, break down to me, what have you done since the tournament?
Yeah, so I did go to the Nerd the week after, the week after the tournament, and I was just there to watch my friend get a lesson, and he was getting coached by one of my former coaches, who I told him about what Jazz Now told me about, and he liked what he saw, but he did point out one thing that was popping up as I was practicing. I thought I was just bowling bad because the lanes were sticky, so I wasn't really caring. But he mentioned that my shoulders were super stiff and back and up, and so I was super tense before every shot. So since then, I've been in my setup making sure my shoulders are soft and loose, and then also I have been looking at my different balls, and I've been trying to get some new stuff drilled so that I have more conducive layouts and stuff like that. But in terms of the ball motions, I kind of stuck with what I got. So I have figured out what works a little bit more and what doesn't, but it's just really situational. And in Morongo, unfortunately, they did not work.
All good, but you got a plan and you're working on it.
Yep.
Good stuff, man. So props to you. Just wanted to say that. And, you know, we're kind of closing it out. We're going to have a new segment coming up pretty soon. It's going to be questions from social. We've been blowing up a little bit on TikTok. I'm not posting as much on Facebook, but we're opening the door to any bowlers that we know. If you have any questions for us, you want to join the podcast and come on as a guest, we'd love to have you on talking. I was at the Orleans today, and I was talking to, you know, Gary Otis, Queenie. I saw Marshall Kent there and Darren Tang. There's just a lot of good bowlers in the bowling alley that, you know, if you just kind of ask questions and see what they got going on and see what they're working on, you can find out a lot about people in the community. So I'm excited for where things are going, and just wanted to say again, the door is open. Instagram, Facebook, any of those socials, let us know, and we will answer your questions. Well, I think that's everything. We did the shout out to social. Was there anything else, Kyle, you wanted to say before we signed off?
That's everything.
All right. So we do have a couple of ones in the works. We have a couple of people that are already planned to be on, and we have ones and things that I have to go over, Kyle has to go over. So keep following us. Keep staying with us, guys. We got more content for you. We hope you guys have an awesome Thursday night. Talk to you next time.
Night.